The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
In celebration of Black History Month, First Take continues our HBCU Wednesdays tour. And our final stop next week, we're checking out Jackson State University and checking in with their new football coach, primetime himself, Deion Sanders. So join us right here on First Take as we recognize Black History Month. And today we are celebrating historic Morehouse College, which just this morning announced a partnership with Coursera to launch an activism in sports course with Chris Webber, five-time NBA All-Star and member of Michigan's famed Fab Five. In a recent interview on Showtime's Inside the NFL, Super Bowl winning head coach Bruce Arians weighed in on why he believed Tom Brady decided to depart from the Patriot way and joined the Buccaneers. He said, quote, "I think his competitive spirit is so strong that he wanted to do it. He wanted to show people. I've never said anything bad about Bill Belichick. I know everybody tries to say I do. His record speaks for itself. He is probably the greatest one ever, but I think Brady wanted to try a different way." Max, was Arians taking a shot at Bill Belichick?
Yeah, pretty clearly, yes. And he doesn't even have to want to take the shot. That doesn't have to be his intention. I'm going to say something. I'm going to aim at Bill Belichick. But shots fired. Yeah, of course. Because as I keep saying, the number one sports debate of the 21st century in the United States of America is, was it more Brady or Belichick? I mean, you could say LeBron and MJ, you know, starting, but that really got serious around 2016 when LeBron beat the 73-win Warriors. Then really, that's relatively recent. But Nat, for how long now was it more Brady or Belichick? It was the great debate. Then they parted ways. And Brady won a Super Bowl, Stephen A., year one. Now, I think this Bucs team is going to go down as one of the most loaded ever. When you look at what they did last, you know, with Jameis Winston, 30 interceptions, still won seven games. Then they added AB and Gronk and Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny. They're loaded. But he didn't just make a playoff run. He won the Super Bowl, and Belichick missed the playoffs, and Belichick was under 500. So when Brady's new coach says, hey, Belichick's probably the greatest of all time, but I think Brady wanted to try another way. In other words, Brady can win Super Bowls without Belichick. That's not – the Patriot way is not just the Belichick way. That had a lot to do with Brady. You don't have to enter the no-fun zone to win a Super Bowl. You could do it over here with me. Maybe if I had Brady that whole time doing it another way, I'd be the greatest coach of all time. Yes, I don't see, especially Stephen A., after what Brady just did, the kind of lead he has on Belichick at this moment – the way he has someone like me, who I never thought I'd say it. Oh, Brady's way up on Belichick right now. For his new coach to come out and say what he said is a shot at Belichick.
I don't think it's a shot at Belichick, the coach, at all. Bruce Arians is in no position to take a shot at Belichick. Belichick still has five more rings than him as a head coach and seven more rings than him overall. So let's get that straight. That's number one. Number two, or at least I think it's seven, yeah. But let me say this to you.
Yeah, two of the Giants, yeah.
Yeah. Let me say this to you. He was taking a shot at Bill Belichick, the GM, because that's the difference. That's the difference. Brady going on the field and performing, he wasn't asked to do, you know, he had weapons so he could do things differently in terms of throwing the ball deep, but he was still a starting quarterback and, you know, he did what he did on offense. The difference with Brady in Tampa compared to New England is that Brady wanted Antonio Brown. Bruce Arians said, okay, you can have Antonio Brown. Gronkowski wanted to retire New England. Guess what? In Tampa, it was Brady's show. Gronk wants to come back. And so when you look at guys like that that wanted to play with Brady, and Brady was basically the de facto GM for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and delivered a Super Bowl championship, when Bruce Arians is talking about a different way, Those weren't conversations that Brady could have. Bill Belichick didn't give a damn what he wanted. Bill Belichick was like, look, you quarterback, I will run this team. And the personnel that will be on this team is who I will select to be on this team. You have no say in that regard. So when Bruce Arians is alluding to that, it being a different way, I think that he's talking about Belichick, the GM, compared to Brady, the GM, not about Belichick, the coach, because Bruce Arians is in no position to question Bill Belichick as a coach, which he acknowledged.
But I think on this issue, Stephen A., it's not – you might be right. It might be an issue of overall process that includes collaboration in terms of personnel. But is he taking a shot at Belichick, to me, is a bigger question. You know, the Patriot way is Belichick the coach, Belichick the GM. It's Robert Kraft the owner. It's Tom Brady as quarterback. It's everything, right? But what was it mostly about? I'll take your point. I'll run with that. Bruce Arians is saying, well, if it's not collaborative, if it's he's the boss and that's it, yeah, they won that way. But I won collaborating with this dude. And you can do that. And so that is also a shot, even whether he means to or not, it's a shot at Belichick, especially now. Belichick's sitting there at 7-9. Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl, right? And he name checks Belichick, Arians does, and says they did it that way all those years. We did it this way 1 year. We got a ring. You don't have to just do it that way. That's a shot.
Well, listen, I'm not going to dispute that. I just wanted to be specific about it being the coach. You know, collaboratively speaking, you're right. The bottom line is Bill Belichick wasn't willing to work with somebody that Bruce Arians clearly was willing to. But why was Bruce Arians willing to do so? Because Bruce Arians walked into this season never having captured a Super Bowl championship, nor having even gone to a Super Bowl. Whereas with Bill Belichick, he had won 6 as the head coach. So Bill Belichick has a level of cachet that he didn't feel compelled to alter, his the way that he did things. And we can respect and understand that. What I will say, however, is this. Now that that has happened, Bill Belichick, I mean, listen, this season is a wash. We know COVID and what a role it played in dismantling the New England Patriots as we know it. This season coming up and beyond is going to say a lot about Bill Belichick, because Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl championship. You got to remember, this is the third Super Bowl title. And this is the way to look at it. This is the third Super Bowl title in 5 years that Tom Brady has won since Jimmy Garoppolo was on New England and Bill Belichick wanted him to succeed Tom Brady. Ever since then,
right.
Tom Brady
it's fair
has
to
been,
say, Stephen A.
Tom Brady has won 3 Super Bowls. He's been to 4 in 5 years.
And we'll
and
see if
fair
the Bucs can do it again next year, Stephen A, because if they do
years.
Become repeat champions, they'll be the first team to do so since the Patriots did it back in 2003 and 2004.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After the Texans released star defensive end J.J. Watt last week, league sources telling ESPN's Ed Werder that approximately a dozen teams have reached out with interest, including the Cleveland Browns and also the Tennessee Titans. However, Watt's priority in determining his next team is reportedly the belief that he'll have the opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. I don't think that's a bad idea. I think he deserves that. So, Stephen A., which team do you think gives J.J. Watt the better opportunity at going to the Super Bowl? Is it the Browns or is it the Titans?
Well, I would say the Titans, but let me say this because, I mean, Derrick Henry running the football and, you know, Ryan Tannehill still being there, and he's been a really good quarterback for the Titans. That defense is real, but you add J.J. Watt to the mix and his ability to get to the quarterbacks, that's going to help you defensively, and it's going to help give you more offensive possessions, which means you'll give Derrick Henry more opportunities to run the football. But let me also say this, Max. If J.J. Watt were to go to the Cleveland Browns, it is an act of betrayal to his family, to TJ and Derek. It would be betrayal.
Here we go.
Okay?
Here we go.
And you can't go to the Cleveland Browns. Now, you want to go to Tampa.
This is pathetic.
You want to go to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Fine. But to go to the Cleveland Browns when you have an opportunity to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it would be blasphemous, it would be sacrilegious, and an absolute act of betrayal, the likes of which Mama Watt should get involved and chastise her son. That's right, I said it. It would mess up Thanksgivings, it would mess up Christmases, it would mess up all of that stuff. For family obligation alone, you can't go to the Cleveland Browns when two of your brothers are on Pittsburgh, the same division with a team that can compete for the Super Bowl, that wants you, has a spot for you, and not only do you choose not to join your brothers, you would go against them by wearing a Cleveland Browns uniform. You would rather be playing off of Lake Erie instead of Three Rivers, Heinz Field. Are you kidding me? It would be an act of betrayal. And J.J. Watt, somebody needs to tell him that. So, damn it, I'm doing it.
You know, Stephen A., one thing about you is I'm really disappointed right now. Because you're a good dude. And this is the first time on this show. It's like you're a bad person for this. How could you do this? You are putting your own interests as a Steelers fan, ahead of J.J. Watt, who is one of the greatest players of all time.
I'm thinking about the Watt family.
A pillar in the community.
I'm a family man. I'm thinking about the Watt family.
He does great works on and off the field, and this man deserves to try to win a Super Bowl.
I love J.J. Watt.
And you would rather serve your own selfish interests here. Stephen A., you'd rather serve your own selfish interests. Put him on a team that does not have a quarterback capable of winning a Super Bowl right now, and you know it. Shame on you. Now,
Baker Mayfield is capable of winning a Super Bowl quicker than Ben Roethlisberger?
It's possible. Quicker than Ben Roethlisberger right now? Yes. Quicker than Ben Roethlisberger.
Please.
Here's the thing. I'll stick to the question, Browns or Titans, okay? Vrabel's done a great job. No doubt about it. Titans are a good team. The thing about Stefanski is, you know when the last time Minnesota was sub-500? That was 2014. I mean, Stefanski's been on that staff forever, right? Doing different jobs on the offense. But 2014 is the last time they were sub-500. Stefanski leaves, just like that, they're below 500. The Browns, last time the Browns were above 500 was 2007. Stefanski shows up, just like that, they're above 500. Stefanski's difference, the kind of difference he's made for that team and that offense, has been remarkable. And then you look at the pieces and the talent they have, Stephen A. I mean, even if Odell doesn't stay on the team, they're going to get value for him in a trade. But they have a whole lot of... And their run defense was excellent, right? But, and they have high-end performers on defense. they could use another defensive piece. And even though J.J. Watt's not J.J. Watt anymore, he's like Jay Watt. You got to take at least one J off compared to the way he was in his prime. But Jay Watt is still better than a lot of guys. That dude still has value, and he would be a real addition to that Browns defense.
I'm a family man. I'm just looking out for the Watt family. I'm trying to keep the peace and keep it together. That's really what the intent is.
Anybody.
He's great. He would be great with his brothers
a.
in the Steel City. That's all I'm saying.
Stephen A., you're a good person, but you're wrong for this.
On the other hand, though, there is the guarantee of having several divisional games a year against each other, so could be maybe a good chance for a family reunion once or twice.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we continue to celebrate HBCU Wednesdays by spotlighting historic Morehouse College as one of the most prominent alumni of any institution, including civil rights leader and icon, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., seen right here in the center of this photo. And now, what do you say we welcome in another celebrated, also prominent Morehouse College alum, award-winning filmmaker, friend of the show, ultimate Knicks fan. You know the man. He needs no introduction. We'll give it to him anyways. Spike Lee, how you doing?
How you doing? I just like you to know that when Dr. Martin Luther King graduated in 48, my father was a freshman.
Wow.
And Martin Luther King III and I are in the same class. 1979. I'm a third-generation Morehouse man, and my mother and grandmother went to Spelman across the street. What?
I can't I can't top that. I can't even come close to topping
that,
my brother.
Baby.
I can't even I can't do it. But Spike, you know, listen, before we get into sports, I just want to ask this question. Could you talk a little bit about what going to an HBCU, obviously Morehouse is a special place, but being a product of an HBCU, what that has meant to your career, what that has meant to your life? Can you put that in perspective for a lot of folks out there for me, please?
Thank you. And thank you. Thank you, everyone. I learned how to be a man at Morehouse. It's a special feeling when your professors, your teachers, the faculty, the administration look like you. A lot of these large white institutions, if you're not an athlete, if you're not running up and down the court or on the gridiron, they don't care about you. You get nurtured at black institutions. And I would not be the person I am today or the artist I am today if I had not become a Morehouse man.
Thank you.
Spike,
go ahead,
to my recollection, school days, was it? It was She's Gotta Have It, and then it was school days, and then it was Do the Right Thing, correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Right, okay. So that was a look, school days was a look at life at an HBCU, right? Like, what, Big Brother Almighty, I still remember that. And I haven't seen it since, you know, whatever, 1988, I think it was 9th or 10th grade, right?
School days.
What did it mean to you to make that film?
Okay. School days was my 4 years at Morehouse, jam-packed in a homecoming weekend. But I have to say, I took my major across the street at Clark College, now Clark AU. Morehouse didn't have a mass communication major. So my major was across the street, and I get killed all the time when I don't mention that my major is across the street at Clark College. But it was my 4 years jam-packed in a homecoming weekend. And nothing I like to say. Even today, people stopped me, told strangers on the street and said, I went to a black school because I saw school days.
That's right.
And that dude came out in 1988, and people still tell
That's
me that.
Big.
And then, and I'll tell you something that I think people miss as well, you know. I mean, they don't realize, like, a lot of times when folks watch shows like Law & Order, they see a Samuel L. Jackson. They've in a
Morehouse.
Particular episode, a Giancarlo Esposito, a Tisha yeah. Campbell, and others. I mean, excuse me, they were in your movies before there was Law & Order. They were in your movies. You were highlighting the great. I mean, you were basically profiling and really showcasing future stars in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Could you speak to that? I mean, because there's a lot of talent that you put in your films, and obviously a lot of them come from HBCUs as well. Can you talk about that for a second?
Well, Do the Right Thing, that was Martin Lawrence's first film.
That's right.
Rosie Perez's first film. Yeah. The late, great...
Ruby Davis, Ruby Ozzy Davis, all of them. Yeah.
Ozzy Davis, my yeah. Ruby D.
Ruby D.
Mekhi Phifer. Fox was his first film, Jungle Fever, that was Halle Berry's first film,
yeah.
Queen Latifah's first film, and also John David. John
yes.
David Washington, the yes. star of my film, Black Klansman, he's a Morehouse brother.
Oh, excuse me. Let me interrupt for a second here. John David Washington, the son of Denzel Washington,
yes.
Malcolm and Marie on Netflix, spectacular. He might win an Oscar for that. He might win an Oscar. I'm
yeah,
telling you right
chip
now.
Off the old block,
for
sure.
He yeah. better get. Let me tell you something. He ain't just Denzel Washington. So he's John David Washington. The brother is a sensational.
No, he's his
talent.
Old man. He's his old man.
He's his old man. He's a sensational talent. He might. He better get nominated. At least get nominated for an Oscar. He might win one. Him and Zendaya, Max, and Malcolm and Marie. Spectacular performance. I'm sorry to digress.
I'll check it
Mike.
Out, Spike.
Spectacular.
Spike.
Spectacular.
You are a sports
right,
fan, and we are a sports show. Even though we're talking HBCU. So I want to ask you, when you see like McCore Maker choose an HBCU or Deion Sanders coach at an
coach.
HBCU, what do you think that does? What are you thinking? What kind of effect do you think that has?
I think the more profile black schools get, colleges, universities. You know, it's a great thing. And my brother went to Howard. You know, he's like, you know, is one of the top prospects. And so there could be a trickle-down effect. I'd like to say something. When Tiger was hitting, I thought that there was going to be a revolution of black golfers. It never happened. So I don't want to go too far out on the limb.
Okay. And listen. Because we're running out of time, I'd be remiss in neglecting to bring this up. Max was laughing at me yesterday morning, but it's not a laughing matter. The Knicks are coming, Spike Lee. I like what I'm seeing. Julius Randle dropped 44. Julius Randle's going to be an all-star. Tom Thibodeau, they won three straight. I like what I'm seeing from the Knicks. They on the come up, Spike Lee. They on the come up.
Orange and blue skies, baby.
Talk to me about this. My Knicks are coming. Your Knicks are coming.
This is why the Knicks are no good. It's your two fault. Spike and Stephen A., it's your fault. It's your fault right now. This is why. They're a game under 500. You're celebrating like they won the finals, Spike. This is an outrage.
Max, my grandmother told me, who lived to be 100 years old, you have to crawl before you can walk.
That's right.
Look at our record last year at this time, and look our record now.
That's right. That's
also,
right.
Your grandma lived to be 100? Spike.
One last thing.
Grandma lived to be 100?
She put me through Morehouse and NYU.
I'm 47. I'm 47. I haven't seen the Knicks win in my lifetime. I might live to be 100 and never see the Knicks win a championship. What are you talking about?
If anything,
life is too short.
Arena, May 8th, 1970 for the Willis-Reed game. one. But last, I know you got to go. I have to give a birthday shout out to the GOAT, born in Cumberland Hospital, Fort Greene, New York, right here, Michael Jordan. Happy birthday, Michael.
Brooklyn, happy birthday, MJ.
Happy birthday.
I was going to give him a birthday salute, the one and only MJ, no question about it, the greatest of all time. But here's the deal, Max. You can
where
sit up there,
born?
You can say all of this.
Hold
you
on.
Can
where
say all
born?
Of this. Let me
where
tell
is
this.
He born?
That, of course, Brooklyn. But here's the deal, Brooklyn. I understand. But here's the deal. Here's the deal, y'all. Are y'all ready for this? Max Kellerman with Worldwide West, William Wesley, mm-hmm. with Leon Rose and those boys. The culture change. If they were there earlier, they might have got KD and Kyrie, okay? I'm telling you, they're on the come up. There's a culture change that's taking place at the Garden, Max Kellerman.
Where did KD and Kyrie play?
Sports.
Look at you two. KD, Kyrie, and Harden. They just moved to Brooklyn. They got all three of them.
If Scott Norwood missed a field goal, I don't want to talk about Patrick. You cannot use if in sports. The house.
You know what? Let me pull a Stephen A. Spike Lee, let me pull a Stephen A. I'm especially disgusted with you, Brooklyn. When people think Spike Lee, they think Brooklyn. You got a basketball team in Brooklyn. You can probably see it from where you are right now. They got
four
three
blocks.
Of the greatest players you ever want to see on the same team, and you're talking about the Knicks?
And I love them.
Mr. Brooklyn
them talking
about
but
the Knicks.
Max. Against everybody but the Knicks.
Please don't cut me. Let me answer this question before you cut me off. I was at the Garden, May 8th, 1970, the Willis Reed game. My guys, Willis, Bill Bradley, the Busher, Dick Barnett, Earl Monroe, Bill Hoskins, Coach Red Auerbach, orange and blue. I don't care. I'm loyal. Loyal.
Unlike some people, Max. Unlike some people, Max.
Yeah, I didn't live through that. I wasn't born yet.
You better recognize.
I lived through Charles Oakley getting escorted out of Madison Square Garden is what I lived through.
And whose fault was that?
You better recognize. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something real quick. If the Knicks make the playoffs, Max, the only way Brooklyn is a bigger story is if they make it to the finals and win it. If the Brooklyn Nets don't go to the finals, the Knicks are actually a better story making it to the first round of the playoffs than Brooklyn would be getting to the conference finals. It's New
Say
York,
it
baby.
Both
it's New York, baby. You better understand that, all right? I'm just telling you.
Blue skies, baby.
Loyalty.
Hey,
that's
Max,
what I'm saying.
We got a lot of loyalty on this crew today. I like it.
Recognize.
It's New York, baby.
All right,
York.
Hey, Spike, thank you so much for coming on First Take.
I ever had Trent Tucker had with a four-point play. I'm still living off of that.
The house. More house.
We, of course, love talking sports with you. Also, thank you for being here for HBCU Wednesday. Of course, today we're recognizing Morehouse College. You, a very prominent alum. So we say thank you for that. And we'll see you soon. And you know what? I'll jump on board for right now. Go Knicks. All right, guys, we have some other stuff to get to, and that actually are some questions from some students from Morehouse College. So they're going to play First Take producer today. They're going to present the question. Stephen A. Max, you're going to respond. So our first question, we're starting with English major Jonathan Jackson. Here he is.
I want to know, after Aaron Rodgers' fourth loss and five NFC championship games, why do you still consider him a bad man?
Because we have two eyes and we
Stephen
can
A?
See.
What do you say?
We have two eyes and we can see. He is a bad man. It wasn't his damn fault they lost the game. What kind of a question is that? You're an English major. You're going to a prestigious institution like Morehouse, and you send in a ridiculous question like that? Jonathan Jackson, what the hell's the matter with you? Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. Don't you ever forget that.
Well, he's a bad man, but Jonathan Jackson, senior English major, is not wrong. You're right, Stephen A. He ain't the reason they lost, but he ain't the reason they won either, and they had chances to win. If Rodgers was a little better and there was opportunity, there was daylight to the end zone, he didn't see it, he didn't run, it'd have been on a one-yard line. Coach should have gone for it then.
He had chances. He had another down to go, but
he didn't do it. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl.
Coach LeFleur decided to go in a different direction. It's not his fault.
He won the MVP that day.
Next question, MVP all year,
not that day.
All right, next question coming from communications major Parker Owens.
Stephen A., my question for you is, if you had one game, who would you choose in their prime? Steph Curry or Chris Paul?
I love me some CP3, but I'm going with Steph Curry all day, every day, because he is the greatest shooter in the history of man. It's just that simple. By the way, kid, proud of you. Keep working hard. Keep going for your education. But next time you know you're going to be on camera, I need a haircut. I need a haircut, bro. Trim it down. Trim the
sides. You don't like it natural, huh, Stephen A.?
All right, now, not that damn natural. He need to trim that bad boy. Just trim it. Go ahead.
Listen, you're not fooling anyone with your jealousy. You see someone with a lot of hair, you get up in your feelings right away. We know what it is, Stephen A.
I can get a lot of hair, Max. Here's the growth is not the problem. It's the hairline. I keep telling you, I got hair. It's the hairline I struggle with.
That's true.
I need a hairline.
That's true. The line is.
I got you.
But you know what? It beat back a retreat, but it's holding steady right about there. It hasn't really retreated in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Just the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I got hair. I just need the line.
Look. I'll answer the question, too, and just say the answer is Steph Curry. And let me just make it real simple. They can both shoot the lights out. Chris Paul's mid-range is insane, right? Steph Curry's three-point game is the same as Chris Paul's mid-range, but you're counting by an extra point each time. Steph Curry's a little better.
Chris Paul's he's a good shooter. He ain't Steph Curry when it comes shooting that basketball. No man is. No human is. Maybe except Seth Curry and Klay Thompson.
Well, we all know that Steph Curry and Chris Paul, both of them big advocates for raising money for HBCU programs.
Yes, they are.
Very good comparison that we're making here today. All right, guys, let's get back to All-Star Game weekend. It's happening in ATL. And guess what? You would normally need a haircut if you were going to ATL because you'd be attending parties. But this year, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms warned the public against traveling to the city for NBA All-Star weekend amid the coronavirus pandemic while stating that the event is a, quote, made-for-TV event only and people should not travel to Atlanta to party. All right, we welcome back Kendrick Perkins for this debate. Stephen A., do you think that they should just go ahead and cancel the All-Star game this year?
I do believe they should cancel it. I don't think they will, but I do believe that they should. The one thing that I do that we all owe, I didn't make this mistake, but just in case anybody has or does, I want to make sure there's a clarification on something. When the NBA canceled the All-Star game in Indianapolis, they never canceled the All-Star game. They said we wouldn't be doing it in Indy, but we'll alert you to the details at a later date. So the NBA wants to make it very, very clear. They never canceled the All-Star game. They never intended to cancel the All-Star game. They were just going to relocate it. So this notion that they canceled the All-Star game and then all of a sudden they started it back up is not true. It's inaccurate according to the league. They never canceled the game. Having said all of that, here's why I say they would. Listen, there's a lot of money to be lost, and I do understand that. And normally I'm all about that. And you got a collective bargaining agreement. This is what you committed to. Go ahead and do it. But when you clearly don't appear to be on the same page as the players, and the players have been inconsistent from what I'm being told, because some of them wanted to invite their family members there and stuff like that, while you have others saying, why would we want to go to a city that's open? Why should we even have the All-Star game? So there seems to be some inconsistency behind the scenes. But in terms of their public positions, saying they don't want to, the LeBron James of the world, the Giannis Antetokounmpos of the world, and others, De'Aaron Foxes of the world and stuff like that, in terms of that, based on their public position, if they don't want to play this game and fans can't be in attendance and you have local government officials saying, encouraging people not to come to the city of Atlanta and that tickets won't be sold to the event, obviously, which means nobody's going to be in attendance. It's all about the fans, All-Star Weekend. Why have it if there can't be anybody there to celebrate with the players? All right, you're going to have it because of money and your contract with the television. But to me, that would mean the players need to be on that page. If the players are willing to cost themselves over $500 million not to have All-Star Weekend, and they're fine with it, I think the NBA shouldn't have it. Now, if they still want the money, But they're saying we don't want the weekend. You can't have it both ways. If you want the money, you got to play. But if you're willing to sacrifice the money, then I think the NBA shouldn't have it based on the times that we're living in right now, just for this year.
Well, let me start by saying the best argument against it, it's probably the one that wins, is the one I hadn't considered until very recently, which is unlike the Super Bowl or any other event you want to mention, here, necessarily, in order to play this game, players from all the different teams are going to be flying to the same place. 30 different cities, right? Flying to the same place and then leaving again. So if there is an outbreak, that's a real spreader, right? That's a spreader event, really, to every corner of the country. I that probably carries the day. But I want to play devil's advocate, Stephen A. You said All-Star game weekend is for the fans. I agree. But primarily, just look at the numbers. It's the fans watching on TV. It's not that the players don't have a good time or whatever, or the fans are in a certain city or whatever. That's true, but that's a minority of the people who enjoy All-Star Game, the TV show. They're making a TV show. And I think you're right again. If there's not a lot of enthusiasm, that is too bad. But the question is, can you produce an All-Star Game TV show that would be good for the league right now? The answer is yes. Yes, it is possible to produce a very good All-Star Game NBA TV show, and that's what the league is trying to do. That is not impossible to pull off.
Well, look, before I address this, okay, this situation, I just want to say I was watching all three of you senior citizens just a minute ago, you New Yorkers, Stephen A. and Max, and Spike Lee, the great Spike Lee, having that 1935 class reunion on First Take. It was so cute, so precious, so adorable. I just wanted to say that before I get started. Hey, listen, it was so precious. I was like, look at these New Yorkers just reunited, and it feels so good.
Max ain't on, he's not a New Yorker.
Hey, listen, y'all was so happy, boy, I'm telling you.
Stop,
but look,
who's in LA right now?
Look, let me say this about the All-Star weekend. I think the NBA has dropped the ball. I think the trust has been broken, because if we look back before the start of the season, the NBA told the Players Association and the players that they were not going to have an All-Star weekend. It was part of the agreement. Due to the short offseason and due to the, you know, them not having a long training camp and trying to hurry up and get the season going to make sure that we had Christmas Day games. And I feel like the way that the NBA and the Players Association have been working together over the last 7-8 months to a year, even down in the bubble, was a phenomenal thing to see. But they took two steps backwards. Here's another reason why I think the All-Star game should not go on. Because of injuries. Guys need time to heal. We're watching teams right now have to play back-to-back games because games are being postponed. We're watching guys get injured. Kevin Durant is out with a hamstring injury. Anthony Davis, calf, Achilles injury right now. CJ McCollum is out. Like, we're watching too many guys being out because they're not being able to, one, have the practice time. They didn't have a full training camp. They're playing makeup games. And on top of all that, it's a pandemic. So I'm not in for the All-Star game. I think a lot of players feel this way, and I just wanted to speak my piece on it.
Kendrick Perkins, Big Perk, let me. I wouldn't normally interrupt you, but Spike Lee said he wanted to get back up in here. He was listening. He said, "I ain't going nowhere. Let me get in on this conversation." So I'm bringing Spike Lee back in right now. Spike Lee, do you believe, as somebody who's attended his share of All-Star games and All-Star weekends over the year, do you believe there should be an NBA All-Star weekend, particularly in Atlanta, Georgia, this season?
No, this Rona ain't no joke. In Atlanta, I got a lot of people in Atlanta, and they going buck wild in Atlanta now like there's no pandemic.
Yeah.
And we know about Magic City, so I want to go there.
Let's keep
100.
Yeah.
And look, I support Adam Silver's my guy, but I think we need to just sit this one out. In my opinion.
But Okay.
Yeah, the pandemic is – that's the winning argument. The winning argument is we're in the middle of a pandemic, and that's the – talk about a super spreader event. If there's anyone with COVID there and there's you contact trace, once they all go back to their home cities, you got to trace all through the country at that point.
Okay, but let me throw this out.
The whole league is shut down.
I'm going to throw this out to everybody. I'm going to throw this out to everybody, but let me throw it to Spike first. What the NBA basically is saying is, you know, you got guys – they're going to be chartered in on jets. It's going to be the night before. It's going to be simply a one-day event. They're not going to have access to a whole bunch of folks on the outside. And as a result, in that regard, they're going to be safe. That's their mentality. What do you all say to that? Spike, I'll start with you.
They fly chartered anyway. Then the regular season is still canceling games. Just because you fly chartered doesn't mean that you can't get hit by that 19, that Rona.
Go ahead, KP.
Well, I'm going to say this. It goes back to my point of, you know, rest for the body, making sure guys stand healthy, and decompressing. You know, Stephen A., I can't think of his name right now, and I'm sorry, but I read a story where assistant coach from the Indiana Pacers he walked away from the game, but I think it was the Pacers because of his mental health. And don't quote me, but an assistant coach in the NBA walked away because he said that it was getting to him. We're not really, I think, emphasizing what these players are going through on a day-to-day basis just to play games. Men stuck in hotel rooms. That is mentally exhausting. And we're not giving them credit for them having to take tests and do all the COVID protocols on a day-to-day basis just for them to, one, go to work, but for two, to entertain the world and play the game of basketball. So they already sacrificing a lot. And again, you asking them for them that they would have time off to sacrifice even more.
Go ahead, Max. Go ahead, Max.
Go ahead, Spike.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear you.
Stephen, I love the point you made. You can't have it both ways. Either you're going to sit out or you're going to play. But you can't expect the league to say, okay, you guys sit out and you still get paid the same time. It don't work like that. This is
America. Max, I'll throw it to you by saying this. Somebody in the league told me weeks ago, they did say this about the players. They said, quote, Stephen A., not one single player came to us and said, here's your money back in the event that we lose money.
Right.
That's why I came up with the, you can't have it both ways. Max, what do you say to all of that?
I'll say this. What you presented, the case for the league is real. They have a compelling case. I think ultimately you lose because of what Spike said. The pandemic is the thing, right? But the league is – and then also it's supposed to be a game that celebrates. It's an exhibition that celebrates the game. But if none of the players are enthusiastic, or the most important players, like LeBron James, have already publicly said they're not enthusiastic about the game, then how much fun – it's really a TV show. How much fun are the fans watching that show going to have? But Stephen A., the league's point, these dudes are going to be flying in on private jets, right? There'll be strict protocols. I know they don't love the idea. It's like one day in and out. As soon as the game's over, they're bouncing again. And in the meantime, at a time when sports ratings are down during the pandemic because there are bigger things going on – let's celebrate the game and put our best foot forward and give the fans a TV show that they like. I get that, too.
You know what else we're going to celebrate? We have two birthdays today, two legends sharing a birthday today. First of all, we have 58-year-old Michael Jordan. We also have 85-year-old Jim Brown. But, gentlemen, you know what? This wouldn't be First Take if we didn't have some sort of debate attached to this. So, two other legends, LeBron James and Tiger Woods, they also happen to share a birthday. That's on December 30th. So, I ask you, Stephen A., which is the greater birthday duo? Is it MJ and Brown, or is it LeBron and Tiger?
MJ is 6-for-6 with NBA Finals and NBA Finals MVP, and Jim Brown retired on top at the time as the greatest ever. LeBron James is phenomenal, number 2 all-time on my list. Tiger Woods was the greatest, obviously, until he fell. Precipitous fall. I love LeBron and Tiger Woods, but nobody gets the edge as a dynamic duo over Jordan and Jim Brown to me.
MJ is the greatest of all time. Yes. He may have even replaced Muhammad Ali as the most famous athlete ever. And his brand is still stronger than LeBron's today. He hasn't played in a million years. Jim Brown was the greatest of all time, still probably at the position. And LeBron is second to MJ. And Tiger, I hate to tell you guys, Jack Nicklaus still got more majors, finished second, finished third in majors more than Tiger. So you're telling me two of the greatest versus two of the second greatest? Give me the two greatest.
Real quick, Spike.
You know my answer. I'm biased.
Yeah. Say it. Say it, damn it. Say it. It's got to be the shoes.
My man.
We got to hear.
And also Jim Brown, who's also not only one of the greatest players in football, but one of the greatest lacrosse players ever at Syracuse.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the greatest athlete ever.
All right, guys. Well, guess what? We took a poll. We asked everyone watching First Take who they thought the greater duo was. They said LeBron and Tiger. Maybe we're skewing a younger audience today. I don't know, but that was the poll results. But gentlemen, I thank you so very much. Spike Lee, thanks for coming on, celebrating Morehouse College. Stephen A., Max Kellerman, also big thank you to Kendrick Perkins.
To
I'm Charlie
Kirk.
Arnold. Guys, this has been fun. We'll do it again another time. Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll see you soon. And SportsCenter, come your way right now.